Well, Fellowship Raleigh, I want to introduce myself. You can be seated. My name is Mike Willis, and I'm a personal friend of your awesome pastor, Matt Schoolfield. I pastor Harvest Bible Chapel, North Raleigh, and I'm here in Raleigh locally, and Matt and I are buddies and have been for years now, and I just want to say you have a awesome pastor. Amen? Amen? Seriously, he is a great man. And Kristen, his wife, is a great woman, and they love you. And I've been at lunches and coffees with your pastor, and I know very certainly of his heart for you and his heart for Jesus. And I just want to encourage you on behalf of one pastor to you for him to just love him well. Love your pastor. Serve your pastor. And the primary way you do that is to pray for him and encourage him. And if you sense some prompting from the Spirit during the week to pray for Matt or his family, then do it and then send him a text and say, hey man, I just prayed for you, be encouraged. All right, it's important. And just be all in with what you're doing. I'm familiar with Fellowship Raleigh and your ministry, very much respect it, and just be all in. If you're considering, should I take that next step of faith here at Harvest, or not at Harvest, that's my church, at Fellowship Raleigh, then do it, all right? Do it. I pastor Harvest Bible Chapel, North Raleigh. We're 6 years old almost, and grateful to serve in Raleigh and be here with you this morning, literally just to give Matt a break. He asked me at the beginning of the year to preach for him, and it's a sincere joy to be with you. So what I want to do is get you to turn to Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25, and I understand that Matt has been leading you just through some gospel living sort of things, and a big series on Uncommon Community is coming. And so this text will get us there. I preach this at our church in a series called Gospel Living, and the title of the sermon is Stir Up One Another. All right? You with me? So let's turn to Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. I'll start by saying this. Being a Christian is a community endeavor. All right? Being a Christian is a community endeavor, and I think all of us would agree we are better together. You agree with that? We're better together. Community is vital, and God's word just lays it out. Just think about this. God made Adam, and then he saw that it was not good that he was alone, so he made Eve and gave Eve to Adam. Community. God adopts Abraham and then multiplies him and his family into a nation that would become Israel, and then he adopts the church. So God is a God of people. He associates himself with people. He leads a people. He connects us together. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. The New Testament is loaded with 33 one another phrases about gospel living and what it looks like to be in community with one another. And I want to unpack one of those today. And it's in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. So here's the text. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray together. God, it is good to be here with your people and serving my brother Matt. God, to have your word open before us, Lord. Would you, by your Spirit's power, open it to our hearts and minds, soul and strength for life change, God, not only personally, but in the way that we interact with one another as believers, and would our goal be to glorify you in the way that we are stirring up one another to love and good works. Father, I pray for those here who are weary and discouraged, that you would encourage them with this passage and encourage them to be stirred up by others and to allow others in to encourage them in Christ. And I pray for those who are here who are strong and in a good spot spiritually right now, that they would see as their mission to encourage others. God, would you bless the ministry of Fellowship Raleigh. Lord, would you use these people for your glory in our city? God, would people be saved and baptized and matured in Jesus Christ? Would lives change here, Lord? And would you send us out into our cul-de-sacs and cubicles and community and our world, Lord, for your glory? I pray this in Jesus' name and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right, so here's the big idea I'll give you today. Being a Christian is a community endeavor. So stir up one another. All right? Being a Christian is a community endeavor. So stir up one another. All right? I want you to just look around at one another for just a minute. Don't look at me. Just look around at one another. Don't be shy. Do the full shoulder twist and look behind you. Look around. And I want you to know that this is the church, the people that you're looking at. It's not a building. I understand you guys are moving in just 4 or 5 weeks. It's not a building. It's the people. And God uses his people wherever you are for his glory. That is the church. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. It literally means the called out ones. You're called out from darkness into light, and you're called into something, and that's the assembly of meeting together. This is the church. And so I just want to ask you, do you know your role? All right. Do you know your role here at Fellowship Raleigh with the people that you just looked at? What is your role? And I'll even say it like this. What is your calling here? We have general callings as Christians, right? And we have specific ones as Christians. And so often we spend so much of our time trying to say, God, what are you calling me to? That sometimes we can forget to be about the general callings that we're called to every single day of our Christian life. And one of those is to stir up one another to love and good works. So we'll answer today, what do you do and why? And this text lays out who we are and what we are to be doing. So I want to just give it to you in three simple points this morning, all starting with ready, aim, fire, okay? There's some preparation that we have to go into as we're coming into the community, and then something that we're aiming toward, and then something that we're going to fire at one another because we love everyone very much. So here's the first point. It is ready, prepare to bless, all right? Ready, prepare to bless. So here's verse 24. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another. Okay? The context in Hebrews 10, 19 through 23, what's kind of laying up into this, it says who we are in Christ, and it's really saying three things. One is the access that we have to God in Christ, and then we're cleansed of evil by Christ, and we have hope in heaven secured by Christ. So that's who we are. That's our identity. But then what are we doing with that when it considers one another? Certainly we aren't supposed to like sit around in armchairs, you know, pontificating about how great we are in Christ and how everything is set and how our moment of conversion years ago or months ago is kind of it, and now we just settle and coast for the rest of our lives, right? We are called to Christ for a mission and for a purpose, and much of that is how we are to interact with one another. I'll nerd out with you for just a minute and talk about one of Newton's three laws of motion. All right, I'm an NC State grad. I did not graduate in engineering or anything mathematical or science related. I was a communication major, so it's fun for me to try to be cool and say something about Newton and three laws of motion. Here's one of them. An object at rest will remain at rest unless acted upon by an unbalanced force. Right? An object at rest will remain at rest unless acted upon by an unbalanced force. And here's what that means. It means without one another stirring each other up, we go into rest mode. We go into congeal mode. We go into harden mode. And we need one another pushing one another forward and stirring one another up in this world so that we stay active. The reality is we tend to settle back, and we need the encouragement and the motivation of one another, right? For me, personally, my default mode is the system of Christian life that worked for me maybe last year or 2 years ago or 10 years ago. Like this type of reading and this type of praying and this type of ministry, and I can do that and enjoy that good season and then run on fumes from that good season for years to come. And I need people around me talking to me and interacting with me and stirring me up so that my life with the Lord is fresh and I'm learning from them and gathering in some of their wisdom and what they are doing. Maybe we compare to other people and say, you know, he's over here spiritually and I'm a notch above that. So as long as I'm a notch above him, I'll just stay right where I am. And we base our Christianity on what others are doing rather than what God is calling us to. And that's another way to just settle back and sit in the Christian armchair and not get up out of it and into people's lives. I know that Uncommon Community is coming for you guys, and you are an uncommon community, and I'm excited about this next season for you. So this phrase, let us consider, it just very clearly, very simply means let's think wisely about how to do this. So as Fellowship Raleigh, you're considering how to stir up one another. Specifically, you're thinking about people in your church, names and faces and kids and leaders and new people, and you're thinking wisely, personally, about how to help them along in the faith. This word stir up, it literally means provoke, all right, but not in the kind of annoying way, like a little kid poking you, right, but in the provoke, as in move forward sort of manner, all right? When I was I think 3 years ago, we had a leak from our upstairs master bathroom into the shower, into our living room. And so I got some contractors to come over to the house and quote it out, and they were saying, you know, $3,000, $35,000, $4,000. And I think there's no way that we're affording that. I don't want to do it. So I start Googling it and looking at forums, and I think, I got this. I can do this myself. And, you know, actually, it ended up working out, and I had some help, but it ended up getting done. But there's a season or a portion of putting in a new shower where you get to the mortar bed. And the mortar bed is that part of the shower that's under the tile or under whatever surface that you have that slopes toward the drain. So when you're doing a mortar bed, you get a 5-gallon bucket from Home Depot, and then you pour in concrete, and then you pour in water, and then you stir. And then you pour in a little more concrete and a little more water, and then you stir. And then it's still not loose enough, not formable enough, and so you pour a little more water in and you stir. So then I would grab a trowel and pull it out and lay it out and try to slope it down toward the drain. And I was thinking so much about that, I'd look back at the bucket, and the concrete in the bucket was what? It was dry. It had gotten hard because I hadn't been stirring it up. And for us to remain to maintain our usefulness as Christians with one another, we personally have to be stirring ourselves up. And then to help one another forward in the faith, we have to be stirring one another up lest we harden and become more useless than we were yesterday or the week before or the month before. It's important to stay fresh. Jesus calls himself the living waters, right? And that's a flowing stream. We think of Christianity as like a glass and it's full or overflowing, when really it's a pipeline from the throne of God that is filling us up, flowing through us into other people, and we must be stirring one another up. So what does this look like? I want to read you, and just take this, I think, important time. I want to read you the 33 one another's in the New Testament. I was thinking, how do I illustrate this for Fellowship Raleigh? How do I encourage them to do this? And I thought, what better way than just to read these? So this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. Be at peace with one another. Wash one another's feet. Love one another. Outdo one another in showing honor. Live in harmony with one another. Do not pass judgment on one another. Live in such harmony with one another. Welcome one another as Christ welcomed you. Instruct one another. Greet one another. Care for one another. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Do not lie to one another. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Do good to one another and to everyone. Exhort one another every day. Do not speak evil against one another. Do not grumble against one another. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's the 33 one another's in Scripture, all inspired by the Spirit for multiple authors to write and to put forth into the churches. That's how we stir one another up, is enacting those and doing those for one another. And maybe you're shy about it, or maybe you're nervous about it, and maybe that's a different type of living than you're used to. And I would say lean in, because that is gospel living, and that is awesome living, and that is what the people around you need from Jesus to, through them to you, all right, and through you to others. That is fellowship. I love the name of your church, Fellowship Raleigh. Amen. Such a great name. I think of Paul in Colossians 1:28. He was the master church planter, right? This guy was fired up for Jesus, and he was willing to take it. He was persecuted. He was shipwrecked, all of these things, sleepless nights. The list goes on and on and on. He planted so many churches, and he'd bring a guy on a ship with him like Timothy or Titus, and he'd train them up for a year, and then he'd plant them in Ephesus or in Crete and say, be a pastor after I've trained you up. And you know, you'd think, what was Paul's life all about? And you would answer, church planting, right? Let's plant churches. And we would be wrong. That is not what Paul's life was all about. His life was about the maturity of the saints. That's why he wrote the letters. That's why he wrote in Colossians 1:28 that the one thing he cared about more than anything else was the maturity of the church and presenting to Christ as an offering a mature church. That was Paul's heart. Is it your heart? I know it's Matt's heart. I know it's Tommy's heart. I know it's Dan's heart, right? Is it your heart to present the church mature in Christ? Ignatius, he wrote, when ye frequently and in numbers meet together, the powers of Satan are overthrown, and his mischief is neutralized by your like-mindedness in the faith. That's awesome, right? Neutralize the evil one through our oneness and our togetherness as Christians. He can take us out more easily if we're alone, but not together. Amen? Amen? So that's point one. Being a Christian is a community endeavor, so stir up one another, ready, be prepared to bless. Next is aim, know your goals. All right, so clearly, stir up one another, do the one another's, but this verse has a very specific one. Reading along in the verse, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That's the goal, love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. So your stirring has the goal of providing in others love, or producing in others love and good works. All right, it's not just the goal of going to a meeting. It's not just the goal of coming here on Sunday mornings. It's not just the goal of getting on a phone call. It's the goal of helping others love Jesus and love others and do good works. That's your goal. That's what you're stirring them up for. All right? The first part of this, or part of it, is a no-brainer, right? It says, do not neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some. You have to be with one another. You have to show up in order to stir up, right? That just makes total sense. You have to be there. So I would just say, don't neglect being there. Arrive early. Punt excuses. And the people around you are part of your calling as a Christian. They are part of your calling. God has stewarded you together with one another to be a church with this one another gospel culture, that you would glorify Jesus in this world and do that together. All right, the word love here, very simply, we're looking at the great commandment, right? Love God and love others. You're stirring them up to love God and you're stirring them up to love others. You're pointing them to Jesus. You're pointing them to others. You're helping people toward love, right? John 13 says that they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. That's one way that the community looks in and understands that you are a legit Christian because of the way that you love other Christians, right? And then 1 John 4:19 says, we love, why? Because he first loved us. We're not loving just performing some thing that we've figured out and think, I'll do this and it'll be good and I'll be religious. We love because Jesus has loved us. He's forgiven us everything. He's welcomed us into the kingdom when we didn't deserve any of those things. So of course, we heap upon other people welcome and forgiveness and hospitality and service and prayer and bearing burdens and all of those things that we just mentioned. The second goal is good works. And just so you know, good works are the result of faith. Titus 2:10 says that we are to adorn the gospel of Jesus with good works. We adorn it. It's already awesome. It's already beautiful. And we adorn it by living it out with one another. Titus 2:10, and it's easy to remember, and then Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here's some awesome things about that verse. First of all, the word workmanship is poema, which we get our word poem from. All right, you living the gospel life and serving other people is God's poem for your life to be read to other people. I mean, that is just beautiful, right? The way that he has ordained things for you, he's planned them beforehand, these works. When you are doing those and facilitating those in your life, it is a poem from God to other people. That's incredible. That deeply motivates me because it's so personal. And it says to me, God has given me a ministry with other people. God has given all of you a ministry with others, and see that and walk in those things. Luke 19 and Matthew 25 talk about the minas and the talents. And I just want you to know that God has gifted you to enrich other people, right? That there's one unfaithful servant. And what he does is he gets this investment from, in this parable, Jesus, and he has it, and he has these gifts in his possession until the owner of that vineyard is coming back, that vineyard being Jesus, his second coming. And he's given us gifts. He's given us these things to steward while we're here. But what does the unfaithful servant do? He digs a hole in the ground, and he covers it with a rag, and it's actually like a handkerchief, which means it's a snot rag, a little gross. But just think about that. He's thinking, it's safer for me just to bury these gifts and just let them lie. I'm thankful for them. I love them. I'm grateful for my conversion, but I'm doing nothing with it. And he was called wicked by Jesus because he didn't use them. And then the others who used them and multiplied them were called faithful. And Jesus said to them, well done. So part of what we do and part of the gifts that we have is for one another. We think about gifts and spiritual gifts and them to be used in the church. That is the point of them. So being a Christian is a community endeavor. So stir one another up. Be ready. Prepare to bless. Aim. Know your goals. That's love and good works. And here's the third one. It's fire. Encourage one another. All right? The last part, encourage one another, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The way that this passage ends is talking about Christ's return, as you see the day drawing near. It takes a lot of courage to live for Jesus in this world. And the reason that Jesus guaranteed us, he gave us a promise. And a lot of times we think of promises as only the positive ones. But there's some promises in the New Testament like in this world you will receive tribulation, right? That's a promise. But the sentence doesn't end. But take heart, I will overcome the world, or I have overcome the world. It's hard sometimes being a Christian. I was having a conversation with Brandon and his wife Courtney before about Voice of the Martyrs and the conference that was yesterday, and people who are being persecuted all over the world for their faith in Jesus Christ. They're being tortured. This woman is being electrocuted. But she's faithful and she loves Jesus, and she knows that in this world she will have tribulation, but that Jesus has overcome the world. And that helps her jump over and break through some of those internal, mental, maybe physical barriers that would prevent us from going for it for Jesus. Christ is coming back. And so what that means is that we need to stay on mission. That means that the time is short. This verse is written with urgency. It says, as the day is coming, as the day draws near, it says, encourage one another. Don't discourage one another. Encourage one another. Stir them up to love and good works. That's your calling to one another. The word encourage here is really pretty similar to stir up. And maybe it's a bit more relational. So you get the soul moving with stirring, and then you aim souls to love God and good works, and then you help one another do them through encouragement, all that is steeped in the gospel. All right? So I want to read, I just want to read you this. I know that at least one of you I've already talked to and has read this book. It's called A Gospel Primer by Milton Vincent. And we had our church go through this in January through February. And it's like literally there's a chapter on one page, right? Very doable, right? You can do this. And this is called My Inheritance in the Saints. This is incredible. Just listen, all right? Be armchair for just a second and take this in, okay? The gospel is not just a message of reconciliation with God, but it also heralds the reconciliation of all believers to one another in Christ. Through the death of Christ, God has brought peace where there was once hostility, and he has broken down the racial and economic and social barriers that once divided us outside of Christ. Also, when God saved us, he made us members of his household, and he gave us as gifts to one another. Each brother and sister is a portion of my gospel inheritance from God, and I am a portion of their inheritance as well. We are significant players in each other's gospel narrative, and it is in relationship with one another that we experience the fullness of God in Christ. Hence, the more I comprehend the full scope of the gospel, the more I value the church for which Christ died, the more I value the role that I play in the lives of my fellow Christians, and the more I appreciate the role that they must be allowed to play in mine. Isn't that awesome? Like, we are part of one another's inheritance in Christ that God has ordained for us. And we need to embrace it, and we need to love it, and we need to lean in, and we need to do these one another's and experiment with it and go for it and just see how it goes. All right, so I'll just ask, where do you do all of this stuff? It's pretty obvious, some of them for sure, right? One is just the Sunday morning worship service, getting here and talking with people and encouraging one another forward in the Lord Jesus, right? How was your week? But get deeper and get into some spiritual things maybe and pray for people, right? Certainly in small groups as well, and in all the meetings that you have in prayer, you're doing it as you serve in the kids ministry and as you serve in welcome and as you serve in production. In all of the ways that you serve here, that's a great way to encourage one another and to do this gospel living. And here's more that I just think is less scheduled, right? For sure, those things. But what about, you know, the rest of the week when you're not with people at Fellowship Raleigh, but you're thinking about it and you want to live this one another culture? What are you doing? And so I think one is you're just praying for people. Like, who's in your small group and who do you know has something going on this week that's tough? So you're praying for people and you're bearing burdens and you're considering how to stir them up. I know they have a surgery this week, or I know they just had a baby. So how can I encourage them? How can I stir them up? How can I point them to the gospel? How can I point them to Christ? How can I help them and relieve burden from them, providing meals or whatever that looks like? A big one for me that just deeply encourages me is text messages. And I mentioned at the very beginning, just with Matt, I'll receive a text periodically during the week, like, hey, Pastor, you came to my mind and I prayed for you. And I don't know why. I didn't pray specifically. I just prayed because you came to my mind. And almost always, that text comes to me like as I'm walking into a very difficult meeting. Or that text comes to me while I'm walking out of a very discouraging meeting. Or something that I really need to live by faith in order to believe for myself or for the church. And I'm at that point of needing strength and not strong enough in myself. And that text comes through and I think, there it is. There's a member of the church that is encouraging me in that moment. Right? So embrace technology. You've got it in your pocket and in your purses, right? Text one another. It's not one of the 33 one another's, but maybe, well, I can't add it. We can't. Canon's closed, right? But text one another. Seriously. All right? That's one. I think calling one another, just like being willing to have a 15-minute conversation. Hey, I'm thinking through this. I'm struggling with it. Because sometimes we can think and dwell on things for days or weeks that can just be stopped in a 15-minute conversation from a brother or a sister in Christ. I'm thinking about this. I'm nervous about this. This is happening in my family. I'm discouraged about this. Or I need help with this. Or what does this passage mean? And you say, hey, can I have just a 15-minute phone call with you after the kids are in bed? Like, can we schedule it for 9:30 tonight? And I'll say bye at 9:45. No big deal, but you help each other that way. The phone call factor, right? Certainly lunches and coffees. And then over all of that, I would just say, be real with each other, right? I don't get a sense from you guys whatsoever. I know some of you. I don't get a sense from you guys that you're not real, but I would say be more real, all right? What are you struggling with? And how do you need to grow in 2015, your walk with the Lord? And how can other people stir you up to that, right? You know what the concrete is and you know what the water is, but you need someone to help stir that, right? So who is gonna do that? And it doesn't have to be this formal accountability relationship. It can just be whoever in the church that you think for this thing that you want to grow in would help you in that regard. And so ask them and start a new relationship or improve one that you already have. All right? So let me ask a couple questions. How have you hardened? All right? How have you hardened? And just like God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, all right? How have you hardened? Like, what do you know is in the word that you're hard-hearted about? Is it the community piece? Is it the serving piece? Is it, are you grumbling about something? Are you being silent where you need to speak? Are you speaking where you need to be silent? Are you way too much on the truth side or way too much on the grace side and you need to pick the middle, right, and be both? Where is your heart hard? What's the Spirit telling you right now? And maybe you jot that down in your margin or in your notes and you tell someone, hey, I need some stirring, and would you help? And confess that. And get that help. Then I would ask, who can you encourage and win? All right? Who around you and who's not here today that you can encourage about something in their life, and when are you going to do it? Don't just daydream about it. Don't just make a plan, but schedule it and say when and how and through what means. And how am I going to be strong in Jesus for them to help them forward? And just know that it's not all about you doing that. Other people are going to do that to you. That's the whole idea. It's one another. We're one. All of us. The key here is all of us are doing it. Right? So who is that person? And if someone's coming to your mind, jot that down. Put it in a yellow note on your phone or whatever. Set a reminder. Tell Siri to help you, right? And get it done this week or later today for the glory of Jesus in the life of another person. All right, I would also say repent from stirring up sin. All right. We have the ability as human beings to glorify God or not glorify God, right? And we can stir up amazing things and we can stir up bad things. And we see in Paul's ministry that people were stirring up division and dissension, right? So I would just say repent from stirring up. And just three things came to mind. I don't know you guys. Matt has not, just so you know, he has not told me, hey, Mike, would you just like level my people with these three things? He has not said that, all right? These are just general things that I want to encourage you with and came to mind as I was writing the sermon, all right? So Matt is clear of these things. This is just me encouraging you, one Christian to another. Repent of stirring up sin. Repent of stirring up controversy, all right? Maybe it's a theological thing and you're just like hammering this thing, but you're not willing to talk about it and communicate about it. Don't stir up controversy, right? Don't stir up gossip. Don't do that. It splits relationships. It splits churches. It's silly. And then don't stir up grumbling. That's one that I see is like so latent and kind of quiet, but if there's a grumbler in your life and they're grumbling a lot and you're having a bad day, what are you going to do when you're around them? You're also going to grumble. It's so easy to stir up grumbling, right? Something's happening you're like pretty excited about it, but someone says one little grumbling thing and you're like, yeah, that thing is dumb, right? Right? And it's easy to grumble. And so we have to have self-control and not be stirring up grumbling, not be stirring up gossip, not be stirring up controversy. And then I'll say this as kind of the last thing. I think the biggest part of living a one another culture where we're stirring up one another in Christ is believing Jesus. All right? Believe that Jesus has given us Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Believe that doing it is good for you and is good for the church. No matter how hesitant you are, or how neutral, or how all in you are already, believe Jesus that this is where it's at. This is church health. And we think so much about church health, like here are our measures. It's numbers, and it's baptisms, and it's buildings, and it's programs, and all of that stuff that is nowhere in Scripture. Every time they're talking about church health, it's fruitfulness. And it's love, and it's good works, and are God's people loving God and loving others and working as his workmanship for his glory. That's fruitfulness. So believe Jesus toward those things. Believe Jesus that he has prepared beforehand works for you and you and you and you and all of you to do. And do them and enact them and get after it here at Fellowship Raleigh. For God's glory. Being a Christian is a community endeavor. So stir up one another. Amen? Amen. All right, the band is going to come up and let me close in prayer. Father, we love you and we love Jesus and we love your Spirit and we love your Word and we are thankful that you have made yourself known to us through creation generally and specifically through Jesus, your Son, and that you are making us mature through godly leaders in this church and through one another. And God, I pray that more and more as every week goes by that you would make Fellowship Raleigh a one another culture church, that they would be stirring up one another to love and good works. When there is a doubt, I pray that people would pray and that they would speak in, pray for one another, encourage one another. God, that they would repent from stirring up anything other than Jesus Christ in one another. God, maybe there's someone here today who does not know Jesus, and all of this talk just seems absolutely foreign, but they're thinking, I am lonely, I need God, and I need a people. And Lord, I pray that you would save them in this time. And if that's you and you're here and you're thinking, I want the Lord and I want this fellowship, then to get that, it's very simple. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything. You just have to tell the Lord that you're a sinner and that you want to repent from that sinning and thinking that you can do life without the Lord and believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. He is the righteous one. He died on the cross. He bought you with a price, his own body. But then he rose to give you new life. And this passage in this church is describing that new life. So if that's you, I pray that you would repent and believe and come and talk to a leader up front at the end of this service. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Fellowship Raleigh. Would you continue to anoint this church for your work and your purposes here in Raleigh and all over this world? It's been a joy meeting some of these people and talking, and God, I pray you would do much and make much of yourself through them, God. Would you humble them? Would you motivate them with Jesus? It's in his name, by the power of your Spirit, I pray. Amen.